I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. On this edition, I talk with Dan Neal, the founder of Paradigm Properties in Eugene. There's a small vacant lot on the corner of 7th Avenue and Oak Street in Eugene. If you pass by it most weekdays, you'll see a handful of law enforcement vehicles parked there as officers and deputies head for the courthouse across the street. Or maybe you'll see the trucks of Lane County Farmers Market vendors on days where they're set up. But if you pass by some years in the future, you'll probably see an apartment building that's several stories tall. The Butterfly Lot, as it's called, will be the home of a rare addition to the downtown Eugene housing stock. Its developer, Paradigm Properties, is no stranger to building multifamily housing in Eugene. Its past projects include several student housing complexes, mixed-use developments, and more. I recently headed to Paradigm's office off of Pearl Street to speak with founder Dan Neal about developing the Butterfly Lot, building in downtown, and more. He starts by telling me about the project.
Well, the city decided within the last few years that it would be best for the city if they could have a bunch of people living there and have an active first floor that creates a vibrancy that is present already with the farmers market itself and, of course, with the Saturday market and the other things that happen in that area certain days of the week. They believe, and I think they're right, that it would be very desirable if we could have a bunch of new residents living in that part of our community. So their goal is for a project to be created which has the lively, interactive ground floor that we talked about, and also to have 80 to 100 units above. And the lot is relatively small. It's about 30,000 square feet, which is about two-thirds, three-quarters of an acre. And so in order to get that many units, it's necessary to go up pretty high.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. What are you talking, probably 8-10 stories?
It could be that high, but more likely it'll be 12. In order to hit the desired unit count, with less than 12, you would have to cover the whole lot. And we believe that it would be very desirable to kind of continue the plaza on to the other side of the alley there so that it is onto the gravel lot. To have open space there would be a really nice thing for the community, I think, even if it does cost us something in terms of unit count.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the vibe that you see in a lot of those style buildings in downtown. You know, I think of 5th Street Market area and how, yeah, there's still, even when you get those taller buildings, you still get the breezeways that kind of move through the area where people can walk through. And plus, you need access to those shops that you were talking about on that first floor.
Yes, that's all true. And I agree with you about 5th Street and the alley. Is there a more vibrant place in town than that? Maybe on game day, yeah. Hudson Stadium or something. But from day to day, it's tough to top the alley. And of course, our proximity to the alley at the Butterfly is very good. And one of the other goals of this project is to strengthen connection between urban downtown core locations such as the Butterfly and some of the other great nearby properties like the Market District and the Riverfront District.
So this is pretty far from your first mixed-use project where you get the kind of retail on the first floor with living above it. What do you think it is that's making that kind of this new growing style of building? I mean, it's not just here. It's all over.
Well, I don't think it has always been desirable. And there have been times when some projects we've developed have been compelled to have first floor retail in locations that really weren't so well suited toward it. And that's been a problem nationally with zoning requirements, sometimes forcing developers who are community-minded to do things that really aren't in the community's best interests. But in the case of this location, I think they've got it exactly right. It is ideally suited for an active ground floor that includes retail uses of a variety of types.
Yeah. I mean, you're right next to the Tiffany building, which is exactly that, a couple floors of apartments above first floor retail. And, you know, that is very much so the vibe of the neighborhood.
Yes, I agree. And of course, the U.S. Bank Tower, same thing, ground floor retail, everything on Broadway, ground floor retail. So to have that in this location right next to the Farmers Pavilion and the other things that are going on in the park blocks just seems like an ideal fit.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier, it's a relatively small lot, you know, not quite 3/4 acre. Building in a space like that can be a little tricky, I'm sure. What does that do to just the general process, the timeline, your costs, things like that? How does building in a smaller lot affect versus if you're doing a larger space development?
That's a big topic, so I'll give a short explanation to start off. And if you want more, you'll tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a laydown area because of this space that I mentioned where we're going to continue the line of the existing plaza. And by the plaza, I mean the space between the Farmers Market Pavilion building on the east side and Oak Street. That has a line of trees, and we're going to continue that on into the southeast corner, which obviously will serve as a laydown area, but it will also serve as the location where the crane will need to go. It's the only place where the crane could go and the most useful place for it to go. More space will be needed, and typically what happens nationally is that developers are allowed to take up a certain amount of the adjacent street or alley space, and it will be necessary to do that here as well.
We hear a lot of debate when it comes to getting building in downtown, you know, particularly residential, about the multi-unit property tax exemption, MUPTI, and how much it helps. I mean, you're a builder. Do incentives like that help out, or is there something that would help out more?
Well, the city has a variety of tools at its disposal to stimulate development, and you've identified one. The MUPTI program is a meaningful program because it enables the developer to really delay the payment of property taxes on the improvements, not on the land. You continue paying property taxes on the land throughout the 10-year MUPTI period. And then after the 10 years, you pay on the full appraised value of the building. And does it help? Of course it helps. But MUPTI alone isn't enough necessarily to take a project from a status where it is operating in the red to operating in the black, because even though it does offer a considerable subsidy that is meaningful, it's not necessarily enough in every case.
So let's kind of move on to just a bit of the idea of kind of building in the general downtown area, maybe even into the university. You've done more than a few projects in the area. What if someone wants, you know, is hoping for something that's a slightly less dense housing, or, you know, maybe owner-occupied housing? We're talking about townhouses, row houses, condos. Is there anything that could be done to kind of foster that kind of growth in that same area? Do the same tools work well if we want something that's more along those lines?
Well, if you're asking me whether we considered doing condominiums for this site, we did, and the risk profile of condominium development, especially if you introduce like 100 of them in a market like Eugene, the risk profile is quite high, because what a condo developer needs to look at is how long will it take him or her to sell all of the condos in a particular building. So if we're talking about a 100-unit building, we've received data to indicate it's not reasonable to assume that more than about 20 of them would be absorbed per year. And to have a 5-year timeline over which to sell all those condos is just too long. No reasonable developer would undertake the kind of financial risk you do with condos, knowing going in that it will take you that long in order to sell your inventory. But I do very much like the idea of smaller scale condo projects, and I agree with your suggestion that it would be a benefit to the city if we could have some more projects like that. The only one that's been undertaken anywhere near the downtown area in the last 30 years, I think there are two, the Tate, which was done about 20 years ago and has been very successful, and the Midtown on 16th and Pearl, just down the street from my office here, where I live, incidentally.
Ah,
so I was very involved with that project, yes. And we were able to sell those 40 condos in less than 2 years. So that is a reasonable timeline. So when you ask whether it might work for a developer with some amount of public support to do another project like that, I would root for that type of project to be there to create an option for home ownership for Eugenians who desire to live in the downtown core or close to it. I hope that certainly within the next decade, we see some of those type of projects come into being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can imagine it's one of those things, but you also see in the interest rate environment and you know, the condo market always seems to be a little more roller coastery than your typical single family housing market. It's easy to see how that might be something that, like you were saying, yeah, you want to go a little smaller.
Yes, the condo market, one might say, is fraught with peril in a lot of ways. One, it costs more per square foot to build to condo standards than it does to market rate housing standards. Second, the insurance cost associated with condos is considerably higher. And third, the litigation history involving condos is robust. Many people who are involved in the condo industry have noted that it seems to be par for the course that you will get sued almost no matter what. And insurance companies have taken note of that claims history and adjusted their premiums accordingly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's very expensive.
We're going to take a break. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC.
I'm Barbara Dellenbach, host of KLCC's Oregon Grapevine. Microbe colleges offer unique educational choices for some students. Jacob Hunt of Thoreau College says they offer non-traditional classroom lessons.
Self-knowledge, communication skills among a small group of people working through conflicts, really hands-on practical problem solving and observation.
Small-scale learning on the latest Oregon Grapevine at klcc.org.
We're back. I'm Zach Ziegler, and this is Oregon Rainmakers. My conversation with Paradigm Properties' Dan Neal continues.
Talking about market rate rental housing, we have seen some increase in that in the downtown area. You know, thinking about stuff like the new riverfront project that's recently been built and is still being developed. That's something I've heard a lot of people say is kind of key to the redevelopment. However, the current market rate can be a little rough for a good chunk of the people who live here. Is it feasible to build enough apartments to get it to where more of Eugene could possibly afford to live in housing in, you know, close to the downtown area renting like apartments?
So you were referring to the Heartwood and the Portal. Those are the two projects that were completed within the last few years in the Riverfront District. And they are beautiful buildings. I've toured them both. And the Heartwood filled up pretty quickly. The Portal isn't full. And if you're asking me about how much demand there may be for housing in the downtown area, I think that's an open question.
let's say that more building does, well, more building obviously is happening with yours, but you know, people are always like, yeah, let's build more downtown, get more people living here. Let's say that happens. And what always happens with supply and demand, rents start to drop a little. Is there a point at which it almost becomes untenable for folks in your seat, the builder, that it's like, oh man, I got to hold off because what market rate has become is no longer viable for what it's going to cost me to build?
You mentioned earlier the high cost of funds, which refers, of course, to the interest yeah. rate and how much higher it is now than it was for a long period of time, starting right after the Great Recession of 08 that went on for so long. We got apparently a little too accustomed to those low interest rates, and now it makes it challenging, but not just on account of the interest rate. It's also the high cost of labor and materials. So are rents high enough at this time to enable a project to be viable when the costs are that high and rents are what they are? It's borderline, frankly. And that's why the city is interested in taking measures to try and close the gap between cost and market value for projects such as this, as they just did with the 1059 Willamette Street project, which is finally going to be under construction starting here within a few months.
So thinking about another area that you've got some experience building in the area, student housing. First off, is there anything from your side, the developer side, that makes something student housing specifically beyond the location? I mean, I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a lot different than the dorm rooms that, you know, me and my friends were in 20 plus years ago. We won't get too specific. What is it that is different for student housing versus apartments?
The main differentiator is the way they structure their units. Most student housing complexes have 3, 4, 5 bedrooms and multiple bathrooms, so those don't fit very well in the market rate environment where you have families or a couple of individuals who want to room together to save money or because they appreciate each other's company or yeah. whatever the forces are that drive people to room with one another. So if you had to assemble families into apartment units that had 3, 4, 5 bedrooms, that doesn't really work so very well. And it certainly doesn't work very well for couples or people who choose to room together. So that's the main differentiator.
One thing that I always wonder about, I mean, we see enrollment at many universities is starting to dip a little. It's getting a little harder on colleges. That would make you kind of think that, oh man, could demand for the student housing complexes go down? Would it be hard for them to re-enter the housing market then is anything other than student housing?
Well, if I follow your question, yeah. I think perhaps what you're asking me is, do I think that they're overbuilding student housing right now? And the answer yeah. is, I absolutely think that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what would be the consequence of that then? If you know, if it proves that there isn't demand for the supply, to use that term again, what's going to happen? Are we going to see these buildings kind of convert, try and figure out other ways of enticing people in, or is this just going to be kind of a lost cause?
Well, that's the big question. And I don't know for sure how to answer it because I don't have a crystal ball, but I can figure that there are a few possible outcomes which involve repurposing the buildings. How do you repurpose something that's purpose-built for student housing? What are the alternative uses? We can rule out a few right off the bat. Office, no way.
Yeah.
Office segment is already hurting a lot, has been ever since COVID, and I don't see that changing much. Yeah, and if it did, the last place you'd want to do it is where these buildings are and with the amount of reconfiguring it would be necessary to do. Could you make it into market rate housing? That's the most obvious one. But for the reasons we just discussed, it's not a great fit for doing that either. Yeah.
If you're a family who needs 3-4 bedrooms, all of a sudden you would way rather be in a single family home in suburbia, most likely.
That's true. I think it would be a rare family that would choose to locate there unless the price was so low that it became essentially private sector affordable housing.
Yeah.
And I mentioned affordable housing because that's another thing to which they could pivot at some point in time. There seems to be plenty of demand for that. So that could be the future of some of those projects, those that do not experience. They can't all be winners. Mm-hmm. How many will be losers? We don't know.
You've tended to build kind of in the more urban area of Eugene, and you know, this new project in downtown. Many of your others have been university area or pretty close in, you know, the type of thing that someone who's looking for that more urban style living enjoys. What do you think is the future for the downtown area?
Well, are you talking about the downtown core? Because I think it's really important to define your terms.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I think either the downtown core or the kind of greater area, maybe the area that folks are the folks who are bike commuting into their downtown job, that general area, I guess. And if you see a difference, yeah, please tell me about both.
Well, let's start with the downtown core. For starters, there haven't been any new market rate housing projects in the downtown core in over half a century, with the exception of a few that received public subsidies to help. There have been a couple ones that have been pretty successful that are just outside the edge of the downtown core, specifically the High Street Terrace on the east side and Broadway Place on the west side. Those are doing well, from what I understand, and it's nice to have those close to the downtown. But what our downtown means many things in order to be more vibrant and to have a feeling of comfort that you can go down there and see a place that's clean and safe. Currently, a lot of effort and thought is going into the issue of how do you crack that nut? And some things are underway that are promising. One of our citizens just donated something like $140,000 just to create a workforce to spend a lot of time and have a physical presence down there, personally interacting with the people who are unhoused in that area and try to help them out, try to minimize or eliminate the bad behavior that some of those people engage in quite a bit too regularly. But there are those who think that if we have more people who are just general citizens of our community, working people, families that live downtown, just the presence of those population groups in great numbers downtown will tend to discourage, by their very presence, these undesirable elements from hanging out in the downtown core. So the Butterfly Project represents a very nice start in that direction. If we fill that building with 100 units, maybe 200 people, maybe a little more than 200 people would now be living downtown, where almost none live downtown now in market rate housing. That would be a tremendous advantage for our city and hopefully the start of a movement that will get more people living in and around the downtown.
Dan, thanks for inviting me into your lovely office here just off Pearl Street and letting me sit down and take some of your time today.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, Zach. Thanks for taking the time to ask about this. I think the more that these topics we've been addressing today are out there in the public and the public has a chance to reflect upon what we're trying to do, then maybe more good things that will happen, which will eventually transform our downtown into the vibrant area we all, and safe and clean area we all very much want it to be.
That was Dan Neal, the founder of Paradigm Properties. This has been Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. I'm Zach Ziegler. Thanks for listening.